in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
I don't know what it is, but it's phenomenal.
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
What, am I missing something?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The reality is, humans are humans are humans, and that's never going to end.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
It's a big, big deal.
Hello. You speak English, sir? Paulo, usted inglés?
60% of the time, it works. Every time.
I've done the math on this. We've talked about it on this show before.
That's a fact.
You'll learn a little something about yourself.
That's us, dude.
That's why we're radio shows.
That's right.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it.
It's like everything everywhere is going crazy.
I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
Let's do this. Discussing issues that matter to you. Finding real answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now, here is your host, John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's afternoon rush, KLZ 560. John Rush, Dan Muir.
That's Throwback Thursday.
It was the Throwback Thursday intro.
That's right.
We could do that every Thursday.
Well, we could.
So, yes, Charlie, line that up to where just on Thursdays we throw that one in.
Can you do that, Charlie? Throwback Thursday.
Of course,
intro.
He can. It's
Charlie can do anything.
It's the ultimate Jedi in there.
And then Charlie wants to go pick up those little round cylinder things on Colfax.
There's 15 shots fired going back and forth.
There's 15 little round cylinder things to go pick up.
Those are extracted shells.
Oh, I thought they were little round cylinder
casings,
things.
Basically. Shell casings. That's what I would call
it. I like little round cylinder things better.
Brass. Could be all sorts of things, though. Anymore, it can be all sorts of material. But
so
usually
drive-by
brass.
Shootings in Denver. I guess, you know...
Is that an Uber and Lyft driver going after
I
each other?
I think so, yeah. They're going after the same fare. Like, get out of my way.
So downtown Denver, it could be anything.
All right, could be.
Two people mad at one another, a couple of gangs going at it. Who knows?
Well, the nice thing about legalizing marijuana is we don't have any more, you know, gang gun crime.
Yeah, we don't, do we? So we got a segment we're going to set up for you here that we're going to play from the public square. They've been running different segments all week long asking the question, are you safer on the roadways or not since the legalization of marijuana?
Now, when they're shooting at each other.
You know, whatever it is. You know, do you feel safer or not? Well, when there's bullets flying, typically not. Just saying.
No, and I always feel really safe when I'm behind a car and this big puff of smoke comes out. You know, oh, yeah. Yeah, they're safe to follow.
Got a nice whiff.
Exactly.
Now, are they smoking pot or vaping? Sometimes they vape, and that's more smoke than pot.
Yeah, that is true.
The vape just
boils. But what's
out.
In the vape?
The vape looks like a bad diesel.
No, but what's in it?
I don't know. All sorts of stuff. It's steam, but you can put all sorts of stuff in it.
You can put the stuff in there.
You can? Can you vape pot?
I don't see why not.
Charlie, you can? You can vape pot? Charlie, what are you eating anywhere, by the way? What is Charlie eating?
No, it looks more like a brownie of
He's
some
eating
sort.
A cheeseburger. He had a brownie first. Oh, with hot mustard.
Ooh, hot mustard. Grape Poupon?
No, I gave him the... I brought a few little goodies today, so I gave him a little goodie before he went on. Nice. Have you eaten your cinnamon roll yet, by the way, Charlie? The maple roll? Oh, yeah. Well,
That's 3 in 2 days.
That was the primer of the hamburger. So that came prior to the hamburger. Charlie eats dessert first. The protein second.
We always do that because you might die before. You know, you want to make sure you get your dessert in.
You got to eat that first.
Right.
Feel good on the front side.
Exactly.
Oh, got it. Okay, so we've got a little bit here from the public square. We'll play that. We'll come back. And then during this first hour, we're going to talk a little bit about Jeff Sessions and some of the pot laws and what his thoughts are on that. I've got a little bit on Steve Bannon. What a putz that guy's turned out to be. Sorry, just saying. If you're a Steve Bannon fan, I'm sorry for you.
I am, too. It looks like he might even be being kicked out of Breitbart.
What a dummy. Anyways, we'll come back, talk about that. Let's play this, Charlie, right now. Hit the play button, and away we go.
Are the roads in Colorado safer or less safe since 2014, since they legalized marijuana for recreational purposes? Hi, this is Dave Zanotti. We'll talk about it today on the Public Square. Rob Walgate, you've been tracking this issue. You're the vice president of the American Policy Roundtable. You've been in communication with the leadership of Mothers Against Drunk Driving. You have before you statistics from the state of Colorado. Is it safer or less safe to drive a car in Colorado now based upon the legalization of marijuana from 2014?
It's less safe.
And when you study the numbers, you see exactly that. From the number of people that are using, from the number of people that are getting behind the wheel and have some sort of impairment or THC in their system, it is less safe when you study the fatality numbers that involve marijuana. And again, remember, all the fatalities, people aren't always tested for marijuana.
Yeah, it surprised me to discover that in Colorado, they did not even, and to this day still do not have the right testing in place, the revenue in place, or the protocols in place. If someone tests positive for alcohol in a fatal accident or serious accident, they don't even go farther to test to see if there's marijuana because it takes a couple of hours to do the testing and a couple of $100 and they stop. So they're not even certain. Even the numbers we're giving you are surely on the low side.
Yeah, the penalty would not be any different. So they've got them, so they stop right there. It's just like when you get pulled over for impairment. There's a breathalyzer for alcohol. Science hasn't caught up when it comes to marijuana to be able to test in that fashion.
Other states are now facing the same challenge rapping at the door. When you support the Public Square, you're helping us get the statistics out about this so that they cannot be operating in the dark. Thank you for your support. In just a moment, we'll be back more with Rob Walgate and more information about what's happening in Colorado and what could be happening in a state near you. So is this your father's marijuana? What a question, right? Now, when I was a kid, the roles were reversed. It was parents looking in sock drawers to see what the kids had there. In Colorado, what we've discovered is that there's folks who are of parental age and then some who are having big problems with recreational marijuana and driving on the highways. Rob Walgate, what have you discovered?
I've discovered that people don't understand what recreational marijuana is or what it means. When you're talking about gummies, when you're talking about candy bars, you can read story after story or instance after instance where someone has had too much and didn't understand the consequences.
And they don't understand the potencies. The marijuana that I remember from the 70s is not the marijuana of today. The potency, the applications, it's a whole different world. And the testing and the science hasn't even caught up with the potency.
Well, and the THC levels. So if you don't understand and you go buy a candy bar that has a ton of marijuana in it, a ton of THC in it, and you eat that whole candy bar, you can be in big trouble. Very big trouble.
And how about ages? I thought this was just a problem with kids.
No, it's for a lot of grown-ups as well. People who want to experiment or see, as we've seen with things throughout the year, the more accessibility a community has, the more they abuse it. The average age of drivers in deadly crashes in 2015 in Colorado who tested positive for marijuana was nearly 35, with a quarter of them over 40.
So not only is the potency different, this is not a young people's experimental problem. This is becoming a way of life and with it a way of death on the highways in Colorado. There's much more on this story that we'll be talking about all this year on the Public Square. To learn more, visit us at thepublicsquare.com. This is Dave Zanotti. Thanks for listening.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back and kind of recap some of what was said there because there's a lot there. Let's just say that. A lot there to digest. So we'll come back, talk more about that and some of what Jeff Sessions has to say in regards to some of that as well. Front Range Mortgage coming up next. If you're a veteran without a VA loan, please do yourself a great favor and call Front Range Mortgage today and see how they can get you into a VA loan. 303-500-1900 is the phone number, 303-500-1900. Some of you are saying, well, man, I had a VA loan years ago. I thought you could only have one in your lifetime. No, you can have more than that. Give Brian a call today, and he'll walk you through it. 303-500-1900, and tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
If you are a Colorado veteran and you are not in a VA mortgage, you've probably been lied to. If you're a veteran and not in a VA mortgage, 99% guaranteed, you're paying too high a rate, throwing away thousands of dollars a year to a bank that will never tell you they're taking you for a ride. As a vet, you're entitled to use a VA loan over and over again. You should be paying zero in mortgage insurance, and you can take out 100% of the value of your home for paying off credit cards. Your bank is never going to tell you how much you're throwing away, but I will. I'm Brian Murphy, owner of Front Range Mortgage, a local Colorado-only mortgage team that has helped hundreds of veterans to drop their mortgage insurance, save thousands, lowering their payments, and pay off high-interest credit cards. Call me and my local team for a painless 5-minute conversation to see how much we can save you. Our number, 303-500-1900. That's 303-500-1900, or visit frontrangemortgage.com. NMLS 378844, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. So dovetailing off of the public square and the question that they asked, I'm going to throw it out to you as an audience as well, 303-477-5600. Do you feel safer on the roads today because of our marijuana legislation here in Colorado, or do you feel less safe? 303-477-5600. And you may feel less safe because of other reasons, but I'd like to know your thoughts. And just your thoughts in general when it comes to the legalization of marijuana. There's a lot of you out there listening, a lot of you libertarian folks that voted for that particular amendment. Was it 64 back in the day, I think I want to say,
yeah,
Charlie?
That sounds
amendment
right.
64 back in the day. A lot of you, you know, libertarians voted for it. I would like to ask the question even of those of you that voted for it, was that the right vote? What do you think today? Where are we at now? Or, you know, where we are now and so on. Do you feel like that was the proper choice to have been made back then? The disappointment I think that I have personally is, and I didn't have all the stats on this. I guess I should have looked it up beforehand, but I've done it before, so I just know even off the top of my head. The amount of money that they all sold us on that this particular amendment was going to bring us hasn't really gone into the coffers they said it was going to go into. Not even close.
And this surprises who?
Doesn't surprise me.
No, me either.
I mean, you know, it's going to go for the schools. It's for the kids. It's for this. It's for that. Well, no, not really.
Well, you know, it's also surprising, too, the amount of illegal marijuana confiscation that's going on. And, you know, Denver used to have basically a closet where they would store the illegal marijuana. Today, they have a warehouse where they store the illegal marijuana.
Yeah. Times have changed.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Well, and one thing we should point out too as well, and I'm not sure anybody, when they voted for 64, even realized this. The one thing that they just said in the public square, which is very true, because we've heard even folks come on our shows, experts talk about this. Giordano, Richard has talked about it. We have multiple other people that have been on and talked about this. The level of THC in today's marijuana is not the same thing. And I didn't smoke pot when I was a kid. I don't think you did either,
no,
Dan.
No, I did not.
So, but when we were kids, we had kids that we knew that did, correct?
Yes.
The level of THC today versus what those kids were smoking back then, it's 100 times more potent today than it was back then. It's not even close to the same. So it's not the same pot that people were smoking back when we were kids. And I think the misconception, Dan, and again, I didn't vote for it. So I really don't have any skin in the game. But when people voted for it, I'm not sure they all understood exactly what they were voting for and what THC levels they were going to be encouraging people to go out and smoke if they liked marijuana versus what was being done back in the day. Am I making sense?
Yes.
In other words, I think a lot of them felt like it was the same pot they had back in the 60s and 70s, and it's not. It's much different than it was then.
No, I mean, it's like they said in that audio clip, you know, it's not your father's marijuana. Nope, not even close.
No, it's not even close. And again, I don't have all the stats, and here's what's interesting. It's hard to even find the stats on some of the stuff, Dan, because they're not super forthright when it comes to some of the stats and what's going on with it.
And once again, it's a commodity that's not hasn't historically been controlled, so it's going to vary. It's going to vary quite a bit. You know, I mean, it's going to vary. You know, you can't say that it may have been 5 parts per million back in 1960,
true,
and today it's 55 parts.
True.
You know, so it could have been around 5 parts.
Right.
And now today it's closer to this number.
Correct. Correct. Randy's got a call, going to comment. By the way, lines are open, 303-477-5600. How do you feel our recreational laws, not the medical side, but the recreational side of it, has affected us here in Colorado? Randy, welcome.
Just one second.
Yeah.
No, kidding. I'm kidding. Okay, so I was one of those people you were talking about that I actually voted for it at the time, and
okay,
I feel like I made, myself and probably many other people may feel the same way. I think that was a huge mistake now because I see all the corruption and everything else going along with it, and I'm out going to the insurance agent to pay my car insurance today, which has gone up immensely because of all the accidents associated with the overcrowding and the pot use and everything, but one thing that I would like to share with you is I was having a conversation with a Denver County Sheriff's deputy that deals directly with not collecting, but like being on site when they bring in the tax revenue.
Yes.
And I will not mention his name. I'm sure he'd like to keep his
job. I'm sure he would, yes.
But however, all of this tax revenue is brought in cash, and his comments were, nobody knows where all this goes. Literally nobody. Hmm. And I was like, yeah, that's what I said too. Hmm. So the tax revenue that was promised to us for the schools, you know, the kids, you know, it's going to be for the kids, you know, and the parks and the kids. So we don't know where all that money's going because it's all in cash. And
see, that's just it.
No, that's a good point.
That's just it. How easy is it for cash to disappear?
There's an article I'm reading right here. Market Watch says that marijuana tax revenues hit $200 million in Colorado. And the question I've always had, Randy, is where is all, and to your point, where is that money going?
Well, that's the reported amount that they want you to know they've collected, okay? The reported amount and the actual amount may be miles apart. We have actually no way of knowing what the actual money turned in really is, okay? Mm. We have no way. That's the reported amount that they want you to know of. So,
well, not only that, if you're the marijuana business, I mean, how hard or how easy is it to avoid an audit when you're dealing in cash? I mean, you got to show something, but are you showing everything?
It's a great question.
I would think it'd be just as easy as a babysitter getting paid in cash, really. You know, I mean,
anytime there's large amounts of cash, I think this is where we'll talk about Jeff Sessions in a moment, and this is where the feds probably have a struggle with this as well. To you guys, both you guys' points, anytime you have a cash business, and I'm not picking on anyone, so please, nobody out there think that I'm picking on you, but let's use, for example, a car wash. Car wash is dealing, for the most part, cash. I realize now you can do credit cards and things like that, and that's changed a little bit on their end. Now, I do know this, Randy, and I don't know if this applies to the marijuana side of the fence or not, but in the car wash business, one of the ways that the IRS checks to see whether revenue is close, there's no way of them knowing exactly, but one of the ways they check to see if it's close is what are you buying in supplies? In other words, are the supplies that you're buying match what everybody else in the industry is tending to do in that particular industry? And if it's way out of whack, in other words, you're showing way more supplies than you are revenue, then it's typically a red flag and they're probably going to come audit you. Is that a situation in the marijuana world? I have no idea. No clue.
I don't know. That depends on what they're paying for their product and what they're selling it for.
Exactly.
So, you know, I sold a grow house, about 600 casters.
Okay.
They paid me in cash.
Hmm.
What do you think they did with the receipt?
Good question.
Right.
No idea.
Tossed it in their trash can.
You know, probably.
No idea.
You know, they don't want any proof of what they've got going on and what they're spending their money on.
Yeah, I would say, I would venture to guess, and Randy, I think you're leading into something that nobody really ever thought about initially, what you're saying, I believe, is correct. And I am one that will say, and I'll stand on this, I don't think anybody can prove either one of us wrong. I think there's a lot more revenue coming in than is being reported. And in turn, I think we're taking a hit when it comes to the tax side of the fence, because I don't think it's being reported. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how they look at it, regulate it, what they're trying to do. I don't think there's there's a lot more out there being sold than what's actually being reported. Cassie was just telling Dan and I before she left, she got Facebook Live set up for us and was telling us, Dan, that there are more pot shops in Colorado than there are Starbucks and something else combined.
I think it was McDonald's.
Oh, I believe that. I believe that.
That's how many, and you guys all know how many Starbucks there are out there. I mean, in some cases, you can see one on each corner. We have more pot shops than we do that. So, Randy, going back to your comment a moment ago, and I'm not going to pick on anybody, by the way, because these things happen. A lot of times things get done on the front side. You look at it and you think, yeah, that'd be a great thing. I'm going to vote for it. So your remorse of voting for it is because what? What's going on today that makes you regretful of what you voted for?
Well, there were a lot of things that I didn't think through at the time. It just seemed like that so many people did it anyway, that they smoked it anyway, illegally, and it was basically just a parking ticket-like thing.
Right.
So I thought, you know, why are we messing with this, spending all these millions of dollars for enforcement and all this stuff when people do it anyway? But I didn't look beyond that, and I had no idea that it would develop into such a scam. We're all being scammed on this, you know. And One other factor, I don't know if you hire younger people to work.
Oh,
for
yes.
You, and it's really not limited to only younger people.
No, no, it's, and yeah, it's, to your point, Randy, yeah. No, it's not just younger people, but I know where you're headed. Not. Yes.
Okay, well, I am in a situation where I typically supervise a small group of people,
okay,
and trying to get people, and typically it's the younger folks, although it has happened in all age ranges, but typically the younger folks in the 20s, trying to get them to come to work. I literally have a new guy starting today, which I don't know if he's going to show up yet at 4 p.m. I'm waiting to see. I'm waiting to see.
Jeez.
He literally told me, well, this schedule is really not going to work for me because my girlfriend's off on those days.
Oh, geez.
I'm like,
give me a break.
I'm serious. No, that is exactly what I was told. And, you know, and there's other factors. You know, they also like to, you know, party when they party, you know.
Yeah.
And I tell you, we just go through people. I've had them last 4 days, 10 days. I've had them not even show up for the scheduled interview. You know, I'm like,
yeah, no, Randy, I mean, you and I are in the same world. I mean, we live in the same circle as far as that goes, and we encounter the exact same things.
But let me tell you something you guys may not know,
what?
Both of you, since you're employers, is that, okay, you know when you smell, somebody smokes a cigarette, you can smell it on them.
Right.
You can smell it on them 2 hours later.
Right.
It doesn't work that way with marijuana. The marijuana smell dissipates really fast. So every mornings when I drive a lot of people to work.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everybody that gets in my car smells like marijuana on their way to work.
Wow. Really?
Okay, by the time they get to work, the smell is gone.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. I'm not kidding you at all.
Charlie just said the same thing with school kids. I didn't know
that. So if you think you're going to smell the marijuana on them when they get to work, no, you won't.
No, you don't. I mean, the thing that we've had to do, and Randy, I'm sure that you're the same. You know, we've had to implement now, you know, mandatory drug testing, things like that, that we as a company are now paying for that we wouldn't have had to do otherwise.
Yeah.
And we're just having to manage things as an employer that, quite frankly, we weren't doing 5 years ago.
Well, I'll let you know a little bit about, you know, where when I grew up. I grew up in the in the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's when I was in high school, late
right.
60s, early 70s. Okay, so you know what we went through,
right.
You know, the Vietnam thing, the pot. Okay, I actually tried pot a few times, maybe, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 times total in the 70s. To me, I thought, I'm sure you've all seen that post, that John Wayne poster, life is hard. It's harder if you're stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
To me, that's what it did. I thought, I'm stupid enough. Life is hard enough. I don't need any help.
Amen, brother.
You know?
No,
so
I'm with you, Randy.
It's not for me.
I'm with you. Know? I guess what I looked at was, I guess as a kid, a couple of things. Because, you know, all of us have been around individuals that smoke pot. Let's just face it. Whether you know it or not, you've been around them. Trust me. In this day and age where we live right now, especially, you've been around them. And I guess for me, Randy and Dan, what I looked at was, even as a young person, was I thought, you know, first of all, the people that I see doing it, not trying to stereotype, but they weren't the smartest and the sharpest tacks in the box by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
So I thought, well, first of all, That doesn't really jive with me, so I don't know that I really want to go down that path. And then I looked at the way they were, you know, basically spending every ounce of extra money they had to go buy weed so they could go smoke it. And I just thought to myself, man, there's better ways to do this.
Yes. Yeah. And do you think the really, really wealthy drug dealers in the world, do you think they sit around partaking of their own product?
No, and in fact, there's an old saying inside of the drug world, never partake of the merchandise. Never use the merchandise.
I seriously doubt it. Exactly. Thank you, guys.
Thank
so
you,
much.
Randy. I appreciate it very much. And I appreciate Randy being honest, saying, hey, I voted for this, and I think it was a mistake, and I'm sorry that I did. You know, there's not a lot of people out there like Randy willing to step up to the plate, be a man, and say, I was wrong back then when I voted for it. Most guys are going to just work around it or not even admit they voted for it, because we don't know.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right.
So I got to hand it to Randy for saying so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Randy, thanks for your honesty. We appreciate it. We'll continue this conversation. Don't go anywhere. Give us a call, 303-477-5600. What do you think about our recreational marijuana laws here in Colorado and the other states that are now following suit? And then on top of that, what do you think of the feds, President Trump and also Sessions, saying that, you know, we still need to enforce federal law? What do you think of that? We'll talk about that here in just 1 minute. Don't go away. Extreme Auto Repair coming up next. They would love to take care of your vehicle, take care of you. Which, by the way, taking care of the vehicle takes care of you, and they do that with utmost respect for you and your vehicle. 303-841-1071. They're in the heart of Parker. They would love to talk to you today. Give them a call and tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
At Extreme Auto Repair, Dennis Brewster and his team respect your wallet. Other shops will go ahead and replace your belts only to let you know afterward that your transmission is shot. Oops, that was a waste of money. Every time you go to Extreme Auto Repair, even for something as simple as an oil change, Dennis and his team complete a comprehensive check for no extra cost. Dennis doesn't want to scare you. He simply understands that you can't make an informed decision unless you know the condition of your vehicle. Otherwise, you run the risk of spending money on the wrong repairs. The longer you wait, the more expensive those problems will become. So Dennis and his team respect your wallet by letting you know early. Extreme Auto Repair helps you prioritize which repairs need immediate attention so you save money in the long term. Take it from John Rush and all of us at KLZ. Head to Parker today for Extreme Auto Repair, where you decide how to spend your money.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Glasses on.
Yeah, I never inhaled.
That's not Bill. It's like Willie. Never inhaled.
Never inhaled.
He just puffed.
Just puffed. Never inhaled.
Hmm. Just puffed.
Don't you have a Cheech and Chong soundbite in there somewhere?
We could throw a Cheech and Chong soundbite in. Remember, they're smoking that big... Dave, yeah, Dave's not here. No, man, this is Dave. No, man, Dave's not here. No, man, this is Dave. Let me in. Cops are coming. Anyways, it was hilarious. Cheech and Chong back in the day. That was stuff we were not supposed to listen to, but still did.
It was good. It was fun stuff.
The funniest part of Cheech and Chong and the one movie is where they're smoking the big old huge, you know, joint. You got to watch the movie. I'm not going to go any further, but it's hilarious. Just saying. I never smoked it, but it was funny to watch those guys that
did. It was funny.
And those guys were hilarious. So, asking the question, do you feel safer today than prior to our recreational marijuana being legalized here in Colorado? And then on top of that, much like Randy a moment ago, who was man enough to admit it, are you somebody that voted for Amendment 64 back in the day that regrets that vote? Or are you somebody that's saying, yeah, it's great, John, no, we're rolling along just fine. It's fine. There's no problem. It's great. It's been great for the state. It's been great for the highways. It's been great for our kids. I do have an article I just looked up as Randy was speaking that I don't know this particular website. I don't know whether or not, you know, the views are left slanted, right slanted. I have no idea. But here's the title. It's coming from cracked.com. Yes, indeed. Cracked.com. Six huge side effects of legal weed that nobody's talking about. Number six, legal pot will really only benefit white people. The decriminalization of marijuana has not only been hailed as a victory for personal freedom, but also as a blow to inequality. For too long, certain groups in this country have been unfairly targeted by both prejudice and the police via the illegality of weed, but now everyone will be able to enjoy and profit from the benefits of legal weed, right? Take Colorado, the birthplace of the legal stoner. As progressive as the state is, it is, of course, illegal for kids to possess marijuana. That makes sense. It also makes sense that because of that, juveniles tend to feature the most prominently in marijuana arrests. In other words, more juveniles get arrested. But everything stops making sense when you discover that it isn't white juveniles who make up most of the arrests, but young people of color, despite there not being much of a racial divide amongst those who smoke pot and those who don't. Police say it's not their fault, but rather the fault of all those racist civilians that they have to protect and serve. According to law enforcement, they receive substantially more reports of suspicious behavior when the behavior in question is being perpetrated by a non-white person, and the police are obligated to investigate. In Colorado, that means that black people in particular can still be 2.5 times more likely to be arrested for marijuana-related offenses. Yes, there are still marijuana-related offenses. Call your congressperson. What do you think of that whole statement? A little left-leaning, but it's probably not far off.
I don't know how to refute it. I mean,
if the stats show that.
That's what the stats show.
Okay.
I really don't know how to comment on that.
Why keep settling for the status quo when you can add another tile to the long domino streak that has institutionalized racism? Colorado and other states following suit have made it a part of decriminalization legislature that people who've previously been arrested for possessing marijuana cannot get a license to operate a grow operation or run a dispensary. Guess which groups tend to have the highest conviction rate? In other words, what this guy's saying is you are eliminating a good part of the population if they've had a previous marijuana arrest in the first place.
It could be unintended consequence. I mean, it could be just nobody really thought about that.
All right, he goes on.
I mean, I don't think anybody deliberately said, hey, you know what if.
No.
I don't think that would happen.
Number five, more children are THC positive at birth or otherwise exposed. That one I can't argue with.
Totally
right, left, or otherwise, I think he's right on target there. One of the main battle cries of marijuana advocates everywhere is that anything natural can't be bad for you. And they're partially right. No one can deny that smoking weed is healthier for you than freebasing paint thinner. However, there are certain types of people who probably shouldn't be smoking pot ever. People with certain medical conditions, for instance, particularly the conditions some medical professionals refer to as having another human growing inside of you.
Will you go back to one of the dumbest statements I think I've ever heard? We should have that thing. I'm dumber now than when you started
talking.
No
one can deny that smoking weed is healthier for you than freebasing paint thinner.
Before that, all things natural. What was on that?
One of the main battle cries of marijuana advocates everywhere is that anything natural can't be bad for you.
You ever stand in front of a tornado?
Or a hurricane?
How about a wildfire? I mean, good night. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Well, wait a minute.
I'm going to stand in front of these sharks.
What about standing between a grizzly bear and her cubs?
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, that's very natural. That will kill you.
Yeah. How fast can you run? You better be able to outrun the guy next to you.
Have your unnatural car and get in it and drive away. Or how about have your unnatural gun on your side?
Anything natural can't be bad for you.
That's the dumbest. Yeah. That is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life.
That is pretty stupid, actually. It is. Now you say that, I'm like, yeah, that's a pretty stupid statement. Yeah, think about all the things in nature that'll kill you.
Just about everything. I mean, even rain, hypothermia.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Just go,
no, you can
go down
the line.
List.
I know.
I mean, everything.
Yeah, there's lots of things in nature that'll kill you. And, you know, the problem is we've, like, sheltered a lot of people.
Well, we have. Obviously, if somebody can make that statement.
Just saying.
Well, things in nature are good for you. What?
For all mellowing qualities, marijuana is still a potent narcotic, you think?
Yeah.
Some studies have shown that it can have horrifying effects on children and who can barely deal with their mind being expanded by basic math, let alone THC. So the fact that more pregnant women are using it and more children are being born THC positive is kind of all effed up, he says.
Yeah, he's right.
And I think, and I won't read the rest of that because that particular part of this article, he's right on the money. Number four, pot growers are ditching the medicinal effects for stronger highs. Back in the old days, it seemed that people could smoke doobies or jazz cigars for days on end. That's why there isn't a single picture of Bob Marley in existence in which he is not smoking up, not a single one. But the reason for that isn't that baby boomers had developed superhuman resistance to drugs. It's that the stuff today is a million times stronger. What we said earlier. And he's right.
It's really strong.
According to a lab called Cara Scientific, the levels of THC in which we're calling classic marijuana is usually 10% or less. Back to your point earlier, Dan. But these days, the average is 18.7 and some as high as 30% or more. It's similar to what happened with America's craft beer revolution. Since there's no real restrictions in place on how messed up your product can get someone, pot growers and sellers are competing with each other to get THC levels and their customers' base as high as possible. So again, this guy you can tell is a left-leaning dude. But he's not far off of what he's talking about.
No, he's not.
I can't argue with some of his analogies
he's
here.
Left-leaning, but it sounds like he's fairly honest, except for the whole environment thing.
Yeah, agree. So what he's really saying is what we said earlier. This stuff is much more potent today than it was back then.
Yes, by far.
Number three, Charlie just said this a moment ago as well, when he came in the studio. The black market still exists, and it's not going anywhere. One of the most common and convincing arguments for legalizing marijuana is that it will kill the illegal trade of it. No longer will you have to buy your drugs from some skeezy, I never heard the word skeezy. Some shady dealer, I would say, on the street. I think he left,
it's
I think it should
typo.
Be an L. Yes, it's a typo. Sleazy dealer on the street. Now you can get your weed from a sleazy small business owner in a corner store. But a lot of marijuana aficionados aren't going into the new legal high. It turns out the pot smokers aren't the most proactive bunch. And a lot of them are sticking to the system that was already in place.
I would have never guessed that. Really? Somebody that's high all the time is not real productive or proactive? Are you kidding? No.
Really? Wow, dude.
Oh, oh,
I'm just
going
to keep buying from the guy down the street like I used to.
Let's do talk radio like we're, you know, stoned.
Our slow, our
Boy,
show would be
that
really.
Would be exciting
can you picture
radio.
John Rush stoned?
No.
Does that thought even go through your mind?
No, not at all.
Thank you, because it's not going to happen.
Drunk or stoned? No. Nope.
Imagine me being that slow.
No.
Oh man, what would I do? I wouldn't get anything done.
Exactly. Case in point, right there.
I'd just be hanging out all day. Oh, okay, what's next? Oh my word, I couldn't do it. Anyways. In Colorado, currently the capital of cannabis in the country, a full 41% of users, get this, Charlie was right, 41% of users don't get their dope legally. There are a few reasons for this. First of all, because marijuana dispensaries have to include a 30% tax. Charlie said that earlier. Street drugs are still a lot cheaper. Second, oftentimes the same laws that legalize the sale of marijuana also give the okay for individuals to go grow plants for individual use, which we have here in Colorado as well. So any amateur botanist with a large social circle can hook up their friends without them ever having to go and buy their drugs in a store. And Charlie said because of record keeping and security cameras. People just don't want to be caught buying dope.
Well, when I go in, I just put on my John Rush mask.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. These states are caught in a huge bind. In order to take that sweet, sweet revenue they promised legalizing weed would get us, they need to heavily tax the market. But that's also what pushes a lot of people to get their marijuana from the street, which again shows that the government is filled with a bunch of dweebs who don't know how smoking weed works. Can't argue with him on that one either. Again, I don't know if I like this guy, but so far I'm liking him.
Somebody from the left calling government employees a bunch of dweebs.
I can't argue with the guy.
Yeah, I think he's spot on.
Why tax a pot smoker when they're at their most lucid? All they need to do is make buying weed duty-free and then raise the hell out of the taxes on gas station snacks. We'll be building our schools out of gold in no time.
That is so true. That is so true.
Oh, it's not bad, is it?
I mean, you just wouldn't believe all the munching that goes on in the back of my car. Munch, munch, munch.
Really?
Munch, 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 munch. Oh, yeah.
All right, let's do this. We got calls coming in. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. Nick, hang tight. Bruce Simmons is coming up next, our reversed mortgage specialist. Bruce would love to take care of you. Anything you need when it comes to reverse mortgage, Bruce is there for you, and he will meet you anywhere that's convenient for you, much like Michael Bailey and others will do. So give him a call. Get the skinny on how a reverse mortgage works, and if you qualify, 303-467-7821, and tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
Bruce Simmons, KLZ's local reverse mortgage specialist, conducts business in person because you deserve to understand the process. Bruce gladly meets in your home, at a local restaurant, or wherever you prefer so that you may ask questions in a comfortable, relaxed atmosphere. Your reverse mortgage allows you to convert a portion of the value of your home into cash, potentially increasing your retirement resources by hundreds of thousands of dollars. You must interact face-to-face with your lender in order to fully grasp how the loan works. After dealing exclusively in reverse mortgages for nearly 15 years, Bruce knows that a phone conversation does not provide the same sense of security, and Bruce wants you to feel entirely at ease while you explore the details of your unique loan. Call 303-467-7821 to schedule a meeting with KLZ's local reverse mortgage specialist. You will make a decision with complete confidence because you will speak directly with Bruce.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John Rush, Dan Muir, Nick and Golden joining us now. Nick, welcome. What's going on, sir?
Hey, Nick.
Hi, how's it going?
We're doing great. Thanks for calling, here. Nick.
Doing good.
So I have an anecdotal piece of information about the increased pot in Colorado.
Sure.
I just got a puppy. She's only 12 weeks old. And since I've gotten her, she has found weed on the ground while on the leash three times. And I've had to spend over $1,000 in medical costs to
keep her alive. You're
yep,
kidding
me. Just in 4 weeks of having her. And the doctors, the vets, they've said that they have such an issue with it. They just recommend that dogs who find it a lot and get into it, they just say wear a muzzle when you're walking your dog around Denver.
You've got to be kidding. I never thought of that, Nick. Okay, so here's a question for
it's
you. Because
one of those unforeseen consequences.
Yeah, my dog's never been into this, so I don't know the side
your
effects.
Your dog doesn't do drugs?
No, my dog doesn't
do
drugs.
You go down to the dispensary and buy dope?
No, we don't. So what happens to a dog, a pet, that gets into marijuana, Nick?
So I tried to do some research on it after she's been into it. They say that they have that it's not good, especially when they get into it younger, that it can have a lot of negative consequences on their cognitive abilities.
Oh, imagine that. Really?
Yeah. So, you know,
imagine that.
Just like with humans.
Never guess.
Well, so just like kids smoking pot, it's no different for a puppy.
Yeah. So my wife and I just bought this puppy. We were real excited about it. I hope that she turns out healthy. She's healthy now. She's doing fine, but it's
unbelievable, Nick. You just brought up something I never thought of. I never would have thought of it,
Nick,
actually.
And we hope your puppies are
right,
too.
Nick, best to you, and thanks for bringing that up. I had no idea. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
You betcha, guys. Appreciate it very much. I had no idea. I mean, it makes sense, but I just never thought about it.
So, John, you're right. So if your puppies can get into it, so can baby goats, because you said kids.
True. So can baby goats. Or babies look like monkeys. Oh, I didn't say that, did I?
Yes, you did.
I did not say that. Okay, let me finish up with this guy's article. We got a few minutes left here. So, number two, marijuana is a gentrification engine. Now, we'll see what he means here.
Okay.
By the way, I didn't read this ahead of time. I just looked this up as we were going through this, and I'm winging it. Gentrification has become a scourge for small business and hipsters everywhere. These days, you can't even throw a rock without having to reimburse Starbucks for a window. But if you think overpriced coffee is bad, wait until you see what the weed industry has in store for us. Because it turns out that getting people messed up is an amazing business model with a diverse customer base, which means we should all get ready for every other building in the world to become a dispensary. Can't argue with him so far. Marijuana businesses are so lucrative that they're willing to pay any amount renters want to charge them. They also take up a ton of industrial space, which is true, because dispensaries and cultivators aren't allowed to take up near schools. That's true. Take up shop near schools. This means that local businesses end up getting priced out of their own communities, unable to compete with big weed and its shrewd, mentally acute business leaders who are all named Budai. This guy's pretty funny, actually.
It's really good.
But this isn't only about the marijuana storefronts and grow operations. While there's legal weed, there's a reason for college grads and other categories of young to middle-aged people with disposable incomes to come a-knocking. Denver was the first place where marijuana became legal. Since then, Denver's real estate has become absurdly pricey thanks in part to marijuana. This does not only affect new homeowners, but also the homeless, who are literally running out of places to camp for the night to make room for all those cash-flinging celebrators of personal freedom. He's right. Can't argue with him. In some cases, one thing he didn't add here is sometimes the homeless comes here because they can get pot.
Exactly.
Number one.
That's why the homeless population is growing here.
I think it is, too. Number one, it causes all kinds of problems for law enforcement. When we hear that weed is now legal in a state, a lot of people think of it the way that totally legal as opposed to pretty much not illegal sometimes. But the judicial maze surrounding weed has only gotten even more overgrown to the point where law enforcement doesn't even know when they're supposed to prosecute someone for handling the sweet, sweet chiba. For instance, a lot of those laws aren't passed through state legislature. They're passed by the voters. And that causes a tremendous headache for the courts, who have to clarify these laws, and police officers who have to enforce them. Denver cops even asked the state to stop making new marijuana laws for a while, since they were changing the laws so often that cops weren't always sure exactly what was legal and what wasn't, leading them to confiscate pot, which may or may not be perfectly legal. Again, the guy's right on the money. I can't argue with him. His analogy is correct. He's right on.
It's a mess, is what it is.
Not to mention the strained relationship that states have with legalized marijuana and states which haven't. For instance, the attorney generals of Nebraska and Oklahoma started up a lawsuit with the Supreme Court over Colorado's marijuana legalization, arguing that it placed an unfair burden on their states and violates the supremacy of the Constitution. They feel that it's unfair for them to fight a crime next to a state that has decided said crime is a crime no longer. It takes a ton of money and resources to confiscate weed that only became illegal the moment it crossed state lines, and they don't think that they should have to shoulder the burden for another state's legislation. Again, I can't argue with this guy. He's not wrong. He's a lefty, but he's not wrong. Everything in here so far, he's been right on.
He's spot on. I I don't see where he's wrong on anything.
I can't argue with him on anything that he's posted. And he's right about the states. In fact, to the point where we've heard today that Jeff Sessions is coming out saying we still need to enforce federal law. Like it or not, that's what he's saying. Now, Dan and I wanted to talk, and we'll maybe get to this a little bit later in the program. Is that the right move for Trump and Sessions?
It is the consistent move.
It's the
consistent move. It's the right move. Okay, here it is. Legally, it's the right move. Politically, it may not be the right move.
Politically, it's the wrong move.
However, it's the consistent move because, okay, so just like states...
Principle-wise, it's the right move,
but
right?
But just like states have legalized marijuana, some states have legalized illegal immigration.
Okay.
So how is it you can stay consistent? You'll go after the sanctuary states, but you won't go after the states that have legalized marijuana.
It's a great question, Dan. We should ask Jeff that. Who we've interviewed on the show before, by the way.
Yes.
Just side note.
Mr. Sessions is staying consistent. So we're going after the sanctuary states and we're going after the marijuana states.
We got 2 minutes here roughly before we take a next break. Just real quick. Not to put you on the spot. What do you like and not like about Jeff Sessions?
Oh, I don't like that he recused himself from the Russia nonsense.
Okay.
And he should have been going after Hillary Clinton and all of her shenanigans. They should have went after that right away.
I'm going to make a lot of people ticked here when I say this. I'm not a Jeff Sessions fan. Sorry. A lot of you are. I'm not. I think he's been a wet noodle in that position.
Oh, yeah.
Total wet noodle. You could have put a wet noodle in there and had more out of him than what he's done. Just saying. And he'd been a huge disappointment, if you ask me. And I've had him on our program.
No, he's been a tremendous disappointment.
I've been hugely disappointed by what he's done. Now, a lot of you out there are throwing rocks at the radio or the speaker because of what I just said. But you know what? I don't beat around the bush much.
Yeah, the whole political thing, the whole thing of not, standing by Trump.
Why hasn't he gone after Hillary, for
Russian
example?
Thing. Yeah, he should have gone after Hillary. He should have gone after that whole mess. I mean, just uranium, the stuff with the uranium.
Why isn't she behind bars right now?
I have no idea.
And yet he's, and not to say that he shouldn't be messing with the marijuana side of it. I'm not saying what he should or shouldn't be doing legally speaking, but no offense, isn't there bigger fish to fry?
Yes, I'll go back to the politics side. Politically, this is a really stupid move.
I think it is.
Because
I think resource-wise, it's a stupid
move. Well, it is. But, okay, so the people that are really, really anti-marijuana that's going to cause them to vote one way or another is slim.
Mm-hmm.
There's not that many people out there. Mm-hmm. However, the immigration thing is huge.
Yes.
There's even people on our side that are saying, hey, we got to let the dreamers, we got to let this, we got to let that, right? So you've got more, you're taking on more by taking on the immigration. Why take on both this time politically? Politically, it doesn't make any sense. Now, legally?
He's right legally.
Legally, he's right.
In principle, he's right that way as well. I get that. But again, now here's where I'm coming from. Had he done the other things you just stated, I don't care if he goes after this. But my position on this is, and it's not because I like or dislike marijuana. You already heard me go through all the things we just talked about with marijuana and the bad things about it. And by the way, I didn't vote for 64. I never thought as a state we should have done it from the get-go. I'll stand on record saying that over and over again. I don't think as a young person especially, should you ever be near the stuff and smoke it? Absolutely, positively not. I would not have a problem though with Jeff Sessions going after it had he done all the rest of the stuff. If all the rest of the stuff was done, handled, even in process, I'd be fine with it. It's like Jeff, go concert and stuff that matters.
Okay, but legally I agree with you. Politically, I don't. I think politically this is going to be a nightmare for all Republicans.
No, I agree.
Everywhere. Any Republican running for governor in this state is in big trouble right now because of what Jeff Sessions is doing.
And I just got a text message that says, regarding the homeless and marijuana, I work with the homeless, and they absolutely come here for the marijuana. Odd that they are homeless but can afford pot. So,
very good.
Reinforces what we said just a moment ago. So, thanks for that text message. I appreciate that very much. Let's do this. Colorado Wellness Dentistry is coming up next. Speaking of staying healthy, and all of your care, your overall health care, starts in your mouth with your oral care. Colorado Wellness Dentistry can handle all of that for you and much more. Did you go there today?
Yeah, I was there today, and you know what? They're right. They really do care about you. He had to lay out some options for me, some I really don't like. But, you know, like he says, let me give you the facts, then you can live in denial if you want to.
Okay. So it works, 303-953-4812. It's ColoradoWellnessDentistry.com. Tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
The fact that your gums bleed every time you brush your teeth could point to problems in other areas of your body. In his dedicated effort to protect your natural teeth, therefore defending the health of your entire body, Dr. Olson remains among less than 2% of dentists in Denver to offer Lanap laser therapy. Dr. Olson understands that inflammation in one part of your body likely indicates inflammation in the rest of your body. By proactively treating inflammation in your gums, you prevent serious health threats throughout your body. With Lanap laser therapy, Dr. Olson and his team at Colorado Wellness Dentistry promote healing from the bone level without any painful cutting or stitching. Call 303-953-4812 to speak with a dentist who not only recognizes the link between oral care and total body health, but who also implements innovative technology daily in his practice. Mention KLZ to schedule a free 20-minute consultation with Dr. Olson, either in person or over the phone. That's 303-953-4812.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, John Rush, Dan Muir, and we've really spent this hour talking about our recreational marijuana laws here in Colorado, how it affects certain individuals. I didn't get to some of our other topics, which, oh well, there's always another day, Dan. Or another hour. In fact, in our case, two more hours.
Right.
Now, just to kind of finish off with Jeff Sessions, which again, I'm sure I made some folks mad and they started throwing things at the radio, but I really meant what I said. I've been really disappointed.
No, John, quite frankly, I don't think a whole lot of people would disagree with you on that one.
Really?
No, I don't.
Well, there's some rabid fans of his initially here in this state.
I was. But as soon, I mean, once he stopped, I mean, he never went after anybody.
And I was never a rabid fan. I was a fan of his, but never a rabid fan because I always looked at him like, Jeff, man, first of all, where's your pizzazz? I mean, you know, come on. Are you on pot? What's going on? You know, wake up. Let's get this thing going.
Well, that's just the Southern.
I know. But it's like, come on, man. You know, we got to get you riled up here some way, somehow.
But no, I really thought he would have been tougher. I really thought he would have gone after the shenanigans of the Democrats. And
he hasn't.
No.
Okay, just as a side note real quick, Steve Bannon, what's your opinion of him? Besides, he's a putz.
He's a nut.
What a joke. What is that guy doing?
But, you know, he's denying some of these things. Other people are denying these things that are in this book. That's what's starting all this.
Right.
So I have to wait and see, I guess.
Either way.
No, he's a nut.
And even you look at him, he looks like a nut.
No, he looks like a nut.
I'm sorry. He looks like an old dirty old man
nut. There was a headline saying that he may be kicked out of his own paper.
Yeah, he looks like a dirty old man. Sorry. He looks like a pervert. I'm sorry. He just does. He got that scruffy beard and messed up hair, and he just looks like a dirty old man.
There's a headline here, Bannon out at Breitbart, ?
Well, he should be. Sorry. The guy's a putz. He's really, he's going off the deep end or something. I don't know what he's doing, but it's not good. And again, I'm sure there's people out there that like him. I'm not one of them. Never was. There's a lot of things Trump didn't do the right way on the front side because I think he had some bad advice. He was one of them.
I agree with you there.
He was one, and Sean Spicer was the other.
No, come on.
Jesus.
What was wrong with Sean Spicer?
Sanders is so much better than Spicer. It's not even, there's no comparison.
No,
it's night and day. All right, if you missed any of this first hour, catch it tonight between 6 and 7 p.m. if it's close to 7 o'clock. Have a fabulous evening. We really appreciate you listening. We'll be back tomorrow. And otherwise, two more hours coming your way. Second hour coming up. John Rush, Dan Muir, Charlie Grimes, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.